3.3 seconds to go. 85-69. Illinois will inbound, and they will dribble it out. The three seed got a test, but the Illinois Fighting Illini found their fight and got the 85-69 win. And Illinois advances to the round of 32, where they'll meet up with the Dukes of Duquesne.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Kevin Kugler on Westwood One, calling the action. Illinois advances. Illinois plays tonight. Welcome and welcome back to Saturday Suckage. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Joining me now on the guest hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois is one of my favorite guests at all times of the year, a man who knows rock fights from real basketball, and he's here to tell us. He's Ryan Horvath, co-host of BetMGM Tonight. Ryan, welcome back. Thanks for joining me today.
Steve, thanks so much for having me, man. How you been?
I've been groovy, and I'm hoping to get to bitching before the end of the weekend. So it's always good to have a goal. So we started this whole thing with a rock fight with Virginia, and now we're into the usual wonderful different stories that I love. I can't imagine someone who gives investment advice for a living or has to watch this with money on the line loves it as much as I love the color and the story and all of that. So how are you dealing with that when you're talking about investments?
Yeah, I mean, you try not to, because that's the thing, right? Like, you fall in love with some of these teams. That's the toughest part about the NCAA tournament is everybody has that trendy underdog that they like. Like, people were betting McNeese State against Gonzaga. I actually liked Gonzaga. And, you know, that's the problem is, like, if you fall in love with these mid-major teams, a lot of them, like, if you pick an underdog, an 11 seed or higher, usually you want a team that's able to slow down the pace, a team that shoots well from three, plays good defense, has a bunch of seniors. You know, and that's the toughest thing is trying to pick which underdog you think could make a deep run. Like, I really like James Madison, actually, against Wisconsin, but I was a little bit nervous because everybody liked James Madison. But that's a really good basketball team. They won 31 games in the regular season. And Wisconsin was so inconsistent all season long until last weekend when all of a sudden they couldn't miss a shot in the Big Ten tournament and made a run to the championship game. But that's where it gets tough. But, yeah, I fall in love with the storylines. I mean, I really like this Oakland team. It was funny watching Kentucky collapse in the first round once again under Calipari. And this kid comes off the bench out of nowhere, averaged 12 points this year off the bench, and he hits 10 threes. Those are the kind of stories that I like. I like the underdogs.
And now he's got a commercial for TurboTax, and because he's still in the tournament, he had to shoot it in a hotel ballroom.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's crazy because he looks like he reminds me a little bit of like he looks like a younger Dan Aykroyd. Like, that's not the typical guy that you see that comes out of nowhere to beat Kentucky and hit 10 threes. So, what a great story. I was just watching, their head coach was just on doing an interview. And I guess, you know, on social media, people were talking about how Kentucky has like five guys that are going to the NBA and he's going to be selling insurance next year. So, everybody's like singing the insurance songs at him, the State Farm songs, and giving him a hard time. I thought that was pretty funny.
My guest is Ryan Horvath, co-host of BetMGM Tonight on the Odyssey app. Find it, listen to it, be smarter, be richer. Let me, given what you described of guards, adult teams, and play defense and or can shoot, however, Duquesne seems like part of that. Illinois seems like part of that. So break down that game. Would you even bet it? But even whether you'd bet it or not, break it down for us.
So what I'm going to do in that game is I'm hoping to get a better number live. Like, that's the thing with Illinois. A lot of these underdogs, if I like a dog that's 10.5, 11-point underdog in these tournament games, sometimes what I'll do is take them in the first half because we see that a lot too. You know, these teams, these three seeds or higher, they get uptight a little bit in the first half. These underdogs come out, they hit some shots. But in the second half, usually talent takes over. That's what's happened with Illinois. I mean, hell, even in the Big Ten tournament, in the championship game, in the second half, Wisconsin had a 10-point lead. But that's what's so scary about this Illinois team and why I like them so much. Their guards could post up. Since Taron Shannon's come back, they look like a Final Four team. He could score 40 whenever he wants. You know, in Duquesne, it's funny because I actually called Duquesne the worst 11 seed in tournament history. And if you look at the metrics, they really were overseeded. But the thing about them, they guard, they play really tough. So I don't love the number at 10.5, but anything under 7, I would bet Illinois live. So I'm hoping that maybe Duquesne keeps it close for a half, and then I'm able to bet Illinois in the second half. The other thing is if, you know, you have another team that you really like today, you can maybe play Illinois in a money line parlay. I like Iowa State. I don't know if Iowa State covers today, but I do think that they win outright. So I might money line parlay Illinois and Iowa State because I do think Illinois advances to the Sweet 16 for the first time in like 20 years. I just don't know if they do it by 11 points because Duquesne is so tough. But sometimes I like live betting these games and getting a better number. Like, for example, yesterday, Marquette was down 10 points. I knew Marquette was going to end up winning that game and talent was going to take over. So I just waited. And then they were actually one-point underdogs at one point in that game. And I was just able to bet them as one-point dogs, and they won by 16 or 17 points. So sometimes that's the way to go.
Ryan Horvath is my guest, co-host of BetMGM Tonight on the Odyssey app. Check it out. I'm Steve Rosenblum. This is Saturday Suckage. We're talking NCAA tournament today. Why do you like Iowa State? You brought them up, and people bring up names and teams and situations, and there's so many different options here. Why do you like Iowa State?
So Iowa State, I think they were in the toughest conference in all of basketball, the Big 12, and they won 9 of their last 11 games down the stretch. They won the Big 12 tournament, and they did it by beating Houston, who I think is the best team in the country. I mean, everybody's going to talk about UConn, and I get it, but nobody could guard like Houston can guard, and they beat them by nearly 30 points. I just really like this Iowa State team. They play really good defense. They're 12-3 against tournament teams, so they're battle-tested. And they're really well coached. I like TJ Olsberger. I've always been a huge fan of his. And, you know, they shot 60% from the floor in their round one game. They had 23 assists. They have Keyshawn Gilbert, who scored 15 points and had 5 assists. Lipsy had 17 points and 7 assists. That's what I like about them. They're really balanced. They're not the best scoring team. I think they're 52nd in field goal shooting percentage, 106 from three-point range. But they're just so good defensively. Fourth in the country in scoring defense. And they're 8th in field goal defense. So I just think talent takes over. I didn't think Washington State was going to win that opening round matchup. A couple teams I was wrong on. I really liked Drake in that game because they were the best defensive rebounding team in the country, but they blew an 8-point lead down the stretch. I just, you know, it's been a good run for the Pac-12 here in the early round games, but I don't think they match up really well against Iowa State. So I do like the Cyclones quite a bit today.
You know, you brought up age in one of your previous comments, and it's been a weird time. COVID has created a weird window, and now we have guys that are shooting lights out and hoping to play with their grandsons on some NCAA team because it's just weird. COVID created a situation where older guys got a chance to play, and you may be 24-year-olds going up against 18-year-olds. Does that factor into whatever you're betting on?
It does. And it's funny because I'm sitting on the couch with my wife and we've seen like 3 players today. And she's like, how old is this guy? Like 27 years old. And I'm like, no, he really is because of what you said. I mean, you had like the COVID year, like, and so that does factor in for me. That's why I never trust Kentucky, right? Like Kentucky this season, it was a weird year for them. They went into Alabama, scored 115 points against Alabama. They were 9-point underdogs against Tennessee. And at one point had a 20-point lead and beat Tennessee. But in the tournament, you know, it's a bunch of one-and-dones. And I don't like one-and-dones in the NCAA tournament. And I think that's why, I'm not going to say like the game, it's all past Calipari by. But I mean, I think if he didn't have a $35 million buyout this year from Kentucky, he'd probably be done, to be honest with you, because you just don't win anymore by recruiting one-and-done NBA players. All these teams, like Houston, for example, even Connecticut, they all have 3-, 4-, 5-year players. You know, these kids are 23, 24, and it does make a difference. It's grown men going against kids. So that does play into it for me. I don't like these young teams anymore. That's the reason why John Calipari has won national championship. I mean, he should have 2 if Derrick Rose hits his free throws down the stretch at Memphis. But that's why, you know, Jay Wright had such success at Villanova. He was recruiting guys like Dante DiVincenzo and Jalen Brunson who stayed 4 years. That's why Houston's so good. And that's why we see teams like Kentucky struggle. Even Duke and North Carolina have kind of went away from the one-and-dones, if you notice. You know, like Armando Bacot for North Carolina has been there since like 1998. He's like 32 years old, and we're going to see him today. So even like, you know, the blue blood programs have kind of went away from that, except for Kentucky. You know, and it's funny because when I covered the NCAA tournament a couple of years ago in Des Moines, I talked with Cal for like 20 minutes, and he told me this story. He was recruiting Tyler Ulis from Chicago. And Tyler Ulis' dad told him, hey, if you get my son, you're getting your point guard for the next 4 years. And he told Tyler Ulis' dad, he said, if your son's coming to Kentucky to play for 4 years, he's going to the wrong school. We go to the NBA after year one here. So that just kind of shows you the way that he recruits. Great salesman, great recruiter, but not the best X's and O's guy. So I like the older teams. in this tournament, and that's why I picked Houston to win it all.
I was going to ask you about Houston and their health, and I think that's a huge issue, and I don't, apparently you don't think it's an issue at all because you got them winning everything.
So that's the thing. I do think it's a huge issue. Their front court is really beat up. The reason I like them, though, I mean, they do have depth, and just like I said, nobody could guard like them, but every year I trust them, they fall apart in the tournament. It's usually because they don't hit their free throws down the stretch, or they go on these 4 or 5 minute scoring droughts. So the health concerns me a little bit, but what I like, I just got done raving about Iowa State because they beat Houston by 30, but I'm actually, that's what made me pick Houston. When they lost by 30, Kelvin Sampson's a madman, and I just said, man, practice is going to be a living hell for those kids for an entire week. I was actually kind of glad that they lost that game. I like how the bracket broke down for them. I think, you know, maybe Duke gives them a fight if Duke even gets past JMU. But I could be wrong. I do like Houston, though, just because of the age. It's a bunch of seniors. They have LJ Cryer, who's really good, and they're really well coached, and they could guard. They guard for 40 minutes, and not every team in the country does that anymore in college basketball.
My guest is Ryan Horvick, co-host of BetMGM Tonight on the Odyssey app. We're talking NCAA tournament here. So Northwestern plays the evil empire that is UConn again. And UConn's got last year the defending champ, number one seed. And they have, if you're Northwestern, you have a considerable amount of, you got veterans on your team. When they double-teamed Boo Booey, Langbord decided, hey, look, I'm old enough. I can shoot. I can do all this. Take that. So I don't know how that factors in, but break down that game for us.
Man, I love Boo Booey. He's so dang good, and he hits tough shots. And, you know, I had Northwestern in that game. If Florida Atlantic didn't make a run to the Final Four last year, if they weren't everybody's darling in the tournament last year, they wouldn't have been in the tournament this year. They just didn't have the same year. They lost some guys. But I thought that was a bad matchup, actually, for Northwestern. Watching the game, I got a little nervous because Northwestern's without their best post defender, and that Golden kid's a beast in the post. But they were able to win that game, even though they went on a scoring drought in regulation for, like, the final 3 minutes. They go to overtime, and then they couldn't miss a shot. I like Northwestern. I don't know that they're going to be able to beat UConn. I know that they're probably not going to beat UConn, but 13.5 is a lot of points. I know a lot of people betting UConn. I would only take the points with Northwestern. I'm a big Chris Collins fan. Like, I like the stuff that they do after timeouts, but again, they're going to have to hit shots if they're going to hang with UConn. And UConn's the scariest team in the country to bet against. They're big, they're tall, they have length, they have this big Klingon kid that's just a demon in the post. I mean, he's a walking double-double. And what I hate about betting UConn, every time I bet against UConn, they score 100 points. They just have multiple guys that could hit tough shots. Dan Hurley, I know everybody doesn't love him. He's a madman, but he's a really good coach. So I don't know that they could win that game, but I do think that they could keep it close because Chris Collins is such a good coach. They do play tough defense. So I would only take Northwestern at 13.5, but I do think that their season probably ends because UConn's so dang good.
Is there another game you talked about earlier about betting in game? You looked at Illinois and said, you know what? I think they're, because their pattern is they're going to suck early, and then Brad Underwood's face is going to turn into a fist, and then they'll get the message and they'll play better, so you'll get a better number. Is there another game you see today that you envision the same kind of in-game betting, in-game investment opportunity?
Yeah, so everybody really likes Creighton because they're the best offensive team in the country. They're really dang good. They just beat Akron by 17 and they shot 56%. They were 10 for 17 from three. So what I'm hoping today is they get off to a faster start and I'm able to bet Oregon. I really like Oregon. I like their center, Dante. He averages about 17 points and he does it on 70% shooting. So he's really efficient, averages 8 rebounds. And, you know, Oregon, their strength of schedule, if you look at KenPom, which everybody loves, 51st nationally. You know, they didn't play the toughest schedule, but I do still think that they're really good. I like their coach. You know, every year it seems like they make a run. So I'm hoping to get Oregon anything over 7.5. 7.5, 8, that's usually the number that I'm looking at. The spread's 5 right now. It used to be if a game was a 3-possession game, you know, late in a game, that's when the team would kind of wave the flag if they were down 7-8 points. Problem is now, though, man, like we see teams that are down 20 still fouling with 30 seconds to go for whatever reason. And then we have to go over to the monitor and review something, and it doesn't even matter. But Oregon's a team that I really like. And as crazy as it sounds, if I get a better number with Michigan State, I was actually really surprised by that line. I think Carolina is one of the best teams in the country, and they opened as only 3.5-point favorites. Now it's sitting at 4. if I could get Michigan State like +8, +9 today, or as a 10-point dog, if Carolina goes up early, I'm probably going to take them. I said this year I wasn't going to do it with Michigan State. Tom Izzo in March, you never bet against them, but all season long they were so inconsistent. They only won 19 games, and now here they are in March, like in that opening round game, they couldn't miss a shot. So I actually think that they're live today to beat North Carolina, but I want to get a better number. I want more than two possessions going against Carolina because they can score with anybody. So those would be the dogs I would look at. I would look at Michigan State, and I would definitely look at Oregon to keep it close tonight against Creighton.
Okay, one last question, because I'm sure there are legion number of Illinois fans who have now become big Yale fans because Yale ran Bruce Pearl out of the tournament, which everybody from Illinois loves. All the Illini fans, good. Not enough bad things can happen to Bruce Pearl. And the danger of falling in love with a team, number 13th seeded team, Yale, and whatever the next step is that something you always caution yourself? Don't bet the story, bet the numbers.
Yeah, that is what I caution myself with. I have to bet the numbers and not the story. That said, though, man, I do like Oakland today +6, and I think Oakland could win again, and I really like this Yale team. I liked them yesterday. That was one of the upsets that I did pick. I didn't trust Auburn. You know, and I love watching Bruce Pearl go home early. The better thing would be if if Bill Self went home early today too, because I'm not a Kansas guy and I like to cheer against Bill Self. I think Kansas probably does lose today because they're so beat up. But actually, I like Yale to win that game and go to the Sweet 16. They're a good team. They have 23 wins on the season. You know, they're not the best scoring team, 145th in the nation in scoring, 67th, I believe, in field goal percentage, but they're pretty good defensively. They're top 60, 61st in defense. And, man, when they're hitting shots, you know, like they did in the Ivy League championship game, if you watch that game, their star player was like 10 of 15 shooting. That's what it comes down to, though. If they're hitting shots, they're one of those teams that could slow down the pace because they play tough defense and they could upset anybody. Problem in this next matchup, though, is they're going against San Diego State, who wants to do the same thing. And they're the better half-court defensive team. But I actually like Yale. I think Yale's going to beat San Diego State. I think that they're a fun story. And I just want the easiest path for Illinois to get back to the Final Four. So give me all the Ivy League teams and all the Cinderella stories. And if they can't get the job done this year, that's what I said yesterday on the show. Because I'm an Illinois fan, but like with Brad Underwood, he hasn't taken them to the Sweet 16. They haven't been to the Sweet 16 since they played in the national championship game, which, man, they got a bad whistle in that game against North Carolina, thinking about it, when they went against Sean May and James Augustine fouled out in, like, the first half. But they haven't been back to the Sweet 16 since then. I was in high school. So if they can't get the job done this year and at least get to the Elite Eight, I don't know that Brad Underwood's ever going to do it at Illinois. Great regular season coach, but he's got to prove that he could do something in the tournament. So hopefully they get the easiest path, and then we'll take care of the top teams later on in the Final Four and national championship game.
Ryan, you said you went the easiest path for Illinois, lay Ivy League teams. Now you're telling us bet on the Ivy League. I like them against San Diego State.
Yes. See, San Diego State is one of those other teams, though, that everybody fell in love with them because of what they did last year. And they just didn't have the same season. They lost some guys. I mean, they brought some of those guys back. But, yeah, I don't trust them. And I could see Yale beating them. But if Yale matches up with, you know, Illinois, or even Duquesne when they match up with Illinois, the difference is, you know, Illinois has three or four guys that could play in the league. I don't know if they're going to be high draft picks, but Yale, Duquesne, like none of these teams have NBA players. So you would think talent would take over and Illinois would be able to roll. I mean, especially with the way that they're playing right now. Last week in the Big Ten tournament, they were tough, man. I mean, I thought that they were going to lose that game to Wisconsin, but they're just never out of a game. And that's what I like about this Illinois team. But what scares me is they just don't play a whole lot of defense.
Okay, well, we'll look forward to that. But Illini fans, you've now got your two-day parlay. You bet Illinois today in-game, and then you bet Yale tomorrow, and there you go. I appreciate it. Ryan, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
Always great to have you. Ryan Horvat, BetMGM tonight. Love talking with hoops with him and other betting opportunities. So we're going to take a break. We'll come back. Before we come back with a cultural zeitgeist, and boy, do I have a baseball giveaway for all y'all. I want you to, speaking of baseball, let me alert you to this. This Thursday, March 28th, Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi will be live from 10 to 2 at Buffalo Wings and Rings on Halstead prior to the White Sox opener brought to you by Modelo. Then Monday, April 1st, they'll be at Sluggers in Wrigleyville from 10 to 12:45, brought to you by BetMGM. That's before the Cubs home opener at Wrigley Field. Join Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi for both of those shows to kick off the baseball season on March 28th and April 1st, right here on 6.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
70 the score. We have the cultural zeitgeist.
Right now you're doing something for the culture.
Oh, baby.
Do it for the culture.
For the culture.
Do it. Do it. Do it a little slower. Like.
I want you to tell all your friends about me.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
I know it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
It's A. That's the anthem. Holla. Get your damn hands up. I do this for my culture.
Joe, warn the Chiefs.
Owns. Owns.
Owns. Owns.
I don't know.
I think we've really penetrated the cultural zeitgeist.
Indeed, on Saturday Suckage, we are going to penetrate the cultural zeitgeist. This is maybe the best baseball giveaway I'd seen, certainly in a long time. The New York Yankees tweeted out this: Ruth, Gehrig, DiMaggio, Mantle, Costanza. Join us at Yankee Stadium on Friday, July 5th for Seinfeld Night. First 18,000 guests will receive a George Costanza bobblehead. George Costanza is featured in this Yankees tweet. George Costanza is featured in the bobblehead in light blue dress shirt and black slacks. He's standing at the plate. His bat is cocked. Just as he was in this famous scene in Seinfeld. It's so good. After he became the assistant team traveling secretary and was explaining his hitting theory to Derek Jeter and Bernie Williams.
Hitting is not about muscle. It's simple physics. Calculate the velocity V in relation to the trajectory T, in which G, gravity, of course, remains a constant. It's not complicated.
Now, who are you again?
George Costanza, assistant to the traveling secretary.
Are you the guy who put us in that Ramada in Milwaukee?
You want to talk about hotels? Or you want to win some ball games?
Hey, we won the World Series.
In six games.
Okay, that's one of the all-time great scenes. And now you can get that bobblehead. In that scene, he just keeps hitting home runs. So the Costanza bobblehead is July 5th. You want to get your tickets to the Yankees game? The Yankees are playing their primordial rival Red Sox. And I don't understand this. Why would you schedule a giveaway against an opponent on a weekend night when you're guaranteed to sell out. Or maybe the Yankees aren't guaranteed to sell out. I don't know. They're not acting like the Yankees anymore. The Dodgers are. But that's it. You're George Costanza bobblehead teaching Jeter and Bernie Williams how to hit. Do we have Omaha? Do we have Peyton going
Omaha? Omaha!
Nice. Nice, Tyler. All right. 60 years ago Thursday, the Beatles hit number one with this.
She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. She loves you, yeah, 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 yeah.
As noted by freelance music publicist and SiriusXM host Eric Alper, She Loves You, if you hadn't figured it out, that's the title of the song. She Loves You marked the second straight chart topper, following 7 weeks of I Wanna Hold Your Hand hitting the top and 5 weeks for Can't Buy Me Love. The Beatles had six number one singles in 1964. Parents, tell your kids.
Omaha!
This from The Hollywood Reporter. Sad news for Slapshot fans. M. Emmett Walsh, the wily character actor who became an audience favorite for his deliciously despicable performances in such films as Blood Simple, Blade Runner, Brubaker, and The Jerk, has died. He was 88. Walsh died Tuesday in St. Albans, Vermont. His longtime manager, Sandy Joseph, told The Hollywood Reporter the cause was cardiac arrest. With his distinctive lumbering form and droll delivery, Walsh was an ideal supporting player, a master of off-kilter comic delivery and dogged edginess. He excelled at roles that dwelled in the darker corners. But we here on Saturday Suckage, and you out there.
To see the three Chiefs make a scoring rush, the bright colors of their jerseys flashing against the milky ice, was to see a work of art in motion. Hey, that's good writing, Vicky.
Well, I was trying to capture the spirit of the thing, Reg.
Oh, you did.
That is the scene we all know him for in Slapshot as Dickie Dunn, the man chronicling the Charlestown Chiefs and, as you heard, Paul Newman as Reggie Dunlop, reading the words that Dickie Dunn, M. Emmett Walsh, is the actor. In this scene, they were at the Aces, and that's why you heard the music in the background. And he reads the newspaper article where Dickie Dunn is chronicling the exploits of the Hanson brothers. And among the code, the callback of, I tried to capture the spirit of the thing. Oh, you did. You did. The movie came out in 1977, so this is important, parents. This is important. Tell your kids what a newspaper was.
Omaha!
Theo Lawson covers Gonzaga for the Spokesman Review. Gonzaga was sent to the regional in Salt Lake City. Theo Lawson needed to sign on to the Wi-Fi in the Delta Center. The Delta Center in Salt Lake City, where the Jazz have played for decades. Hopeful people at the Delta Center offered a sheet of paper containing the network Theo and all the media should be looking for to sign on to Wi-Fi. And Theo Lawson tweeted this. The Wi-Fi network in Salt Lake City, Jordan pushed off. At least they aren't sour or anything. That was in 1988. That reference, when Jordan, yes, he pushed off on Brian Russell for the shot that clinched the three-peat. Yes, he pushed off. And it's been since 1998. So I guess if you're the Jazz and your Wi-Fi network is called Jordan Pushed Off, if you can't hold a championship trophy at least you can hold a grudge like a champion.
Omaha!
The Athletic ran a story about something they're calling the high butt factor. Coaches and scouts look for it in linemen. No lie. The NFL loves big butts and it cannot lie. And it talked about the way they look at a player's butt and hips and their anchor. It's what their anchor. They can't anchor. Right? So this story about the high butt factor and its importance was put out on all the social media. The Athletic story was. On the Instagram of the story, Mark Sanchez, former Bears backup legend, and certainly all-time butt fumble god, commented, definitely shouldn't be overlooked, and a smiley face. That is just so good.
Omaha!
Tyler, did you ever read the book Everybody Poops or have it read to you?
Never.
No?
Not that I can recall.
It's part of the toilet training. It was, at least when my kids were kids, we'd read it to Everybody Poops was the book. I'm sure it still exists and is used in some, or maybe they made progress in toilet training and pooping for kids to learn about. So it was read because everybody poops. This item, though, is about luxury pooping. A woman named Megan Reynolds writes for Dwell. Dwell.com. Dwell's senior home guides editor. She wrote an article that you just have to read because it's headlined The Great Toilet Rebrand. So apparently, as the deck tells us, after decades of being treated like something that's better left unnoticed, designers are making toilets fun again. Who doesn't love fun toilets? Fun. And bring money. Bryant Park's restroom, famously, Bryant Park is where they hold is Fashion Week. If you ever watched Project Runway, you know they go to Bryant Park. Bryant Park's restroom famously got a facelift in 2017. Megan Reynolds wrote for Dwell, undergoing a privately funded $300,000 renovation. There are now fresh flowers on the counters, classical music on the speakers, and bathroom attendants, making for an altogether pleasant bathroom experience. You would play a road game here. You would. That's right. Those of you who might have trouble playing road games, that would be a place you could play a road game. You'd have a lot of creature comforts. But now, options for toilet innovations in your home have become wide-ranging and, frankly, strangely exciting. The white porcelain eyesores you're used to choking over in your 20s and coming home from a night of drinking, those are being replaced in a lot of places. It's not for everyone. They're adding flair to their bathroom experience. For 2024, Kohler rooted around its archives and reissued three greens. There's Aspen Green, Teal, and Fresh Green. If you spend any time on Instagram and have let your algorithm do its worst, you may have seen Bailey Hakawa's 3D phone cases. Now you can get a phone toilet seat. Bailey Hikawa's 3D phone cases are set in toilet seats. And you can get a toilet seat where Bailey Hikawa has input an enameled hair, long flowing hair and curls in toilet seats. This variety of toilet seats come in slightly different styles, slightly different colors. $1,350. for these designer toilet seats with flip phones or hair. But this is the pinnacle of pooping, I would guess we'd have to call it. Kohler's take on this as well is the Numi 2.0. Now, it bears a passing, according to Megan Reynolds of Dwell, it bears a passing resemblance to a nice garbage can and comes kitted out with all the expectant bells and whistles like LED lights. Do you need LED lights when you're pooping? Warm air blasted up, you know where. Temperature controlled water in a bidet function that cleans your back and your front. An automatic lid. And crucially, apparently now, integration with Alexa. Do you really need integration with Alexa while you're sitting on the throne? If you do, you can get this for a mere $9,937.50. The toilet kit of your dreams.
Omaha!
All right, I started this a couple months ago. Somebody got upset. I thought, this is a good way. We'll just keep doing this. Time for the 16th greatest riff in rock history. Highway to Hell, AC/DC, 16th greatest rock riff. And you may not agree with me. That's fine. You can get your own cultural zeitgeist segment on your own radio show, and you can do your own list. So before I go, coming up, before I leave, I want to bring you the best thing I saw this week. But I also wanted to bring this because one of the great follows on Twitter, or what's left of Twitter, is the National Park Service. I frequently bring their stuff to the air, and this is one of those examples. The National Park Service tweeted this, "Rollin', rollin', rollin'." Per our friends at Yellowstone National Park Service, did you know they clean and service 422 toilets every day during summer? You notice a trend in this cultural zeitgeist, right? This is not what the National Park Service tweeted, but did you know they clean and service 422 toilets every day during summer? With over 4 million visits, here comes the math, they stock park restrooms with 3,500 plus miles of tissue each summer, roughly the distance from Key West to Seattle, stretching toilet paper. There's a theme to Saturday Suckage. Connect the dots. I'm going to take a break. When I come back, the best thing I saw this week. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Well, the 773 responded to that last, the bulk of the last segment. Please tell me there's a toilet with a bong attached. Another 773 texture. We read Everybody Poops to My Kids, ages 10 and 6. And 773 texture, Taylor Swift does not poop. That's great. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Welcome back. We're almost done. The best thing I saw this week, it was on Ryan Sandberg's Twitter account, RyanSandberg23. And it was this. Picture Rhino. Round number 4 in the books. Great news last week. No cancerous activity in my whole body. PET scan! Exclamation point. Thanks to God! Exclamation point. Continuing with treatments of chemo and radiation ahead of me. Positive attitude to the max with the news. Takes me back to my early symptoms of back pain and other side effects, which we reacted to quickly with tests to diagnose my cancer. Exclamation point. Thanks to all for support and love and positive thoughts. Hashtag God is good. Rhino got good news in his fight with cancer. And he tweeted that out. And he's smiling with a modicum of hair. He's sitting in a chair, smiling, and with reason. And I think, you know what? You can't help but feel good for the guy. And you root for the guy even more than you rooted for him as a player. And I think it's terrific. All thoughts will be with you, Rhino. All good thoughts. And you keep going. You keep going. We are happy to read that and keep the updates coming. It's just a, you know, for so long, he was just so, I don't know, untouchable is the right word, but he was so a superhero in a lot of ways. And then this hits and, okay, he's going to find a way to beat it. So you go, Rhino, you go. Tyler? Tyler Farengold was sitting in for whoever was supposed to be there. Tyler, I got to say, I sucked and you did not. I can't say I had it doped out that way.
Well, that's the theme of the show, isn't it? Saturday suckage?
Yeah, I know, but why didn't you? You were just, you did an excellent job. I want to say that. You did an excellent job.
Well, I had a couple of moments myself. Like I said, it's the theme of the show, Rosie. We all suck so you don't have to, right?
I suck so you didn't have to. I got to say, I stayed on brand from the start of the show till right at the end, and I think it was very appropriate that we were talking about everybody poops by the end of the show. Brought you the good news about Ryan Sandberg, and talked to Mark Grody and Tony Andracki and Hub Arkish and Ryan Horvath. And I don't know, this would be a real... I really hope nobody important listened. If nobody important listened to the show, I'll be back next week for Saturday Suckers. Thanks for listening to The Score.
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
It.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Allo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
70 The Score.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Well, the 773 responded to that last, the bulk of the last segment. Please tell me there's a toilet with a bong attached. Another 773 texture. We read Everybody Poops to My Kids, ages 10 and 6. And 773 texter, Taylor Swift does not poop. That's great. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Welcome back. We're almost done. The best thing I saw this week, it was on Ryan Sandberg's Twitter account, Ryan Sandberg 23. And it was this. Picture Rhino. Round number 4 in the books. Great news last week. No cancerous activity in my whole body. PET scan! ! Thanks to God! ! Continuing with treatments of chemo and radiation ahead of me. Positive attitude to the max with the news. Takes me back to my early symptoms of back pain and other side effects, which we reacted to quickly with tests to diagnose my cancer. ! Thanks to all for support and love and positive thoughts. # God is good. Rhino got good news in his fight with cancer. And he tweeted that out, and he's smiling with a modicum of hair. He's sitting in a chair, smiling, and with reason. And I think, you know what? You can't help but feel good for the guy, and you root for the guy even more than you rooted for him as a player. And I think it's terrific. All thoughts will be with you, Rhino. All good thoughts. And you keep going. You keep going. We are happy to read that and keep the updates coming. It's just a, you know, for so long, he was just so, I don't know, untouchable is the right word, but he was so a superhero in a lot of ways. And then this hits and, okay, he's going to find a way to beat it. So you go, Rhino, you go. Tyler? Tyler Ferengul was sitting in for whoever was supposed to be there. Tyler, I got to say, I sucked and you did not. I can't say I had it doped out that way.
Well, that's the theme of the show, isn't it? Saturday suckage?
Yeah, I know, but why didn't you? You were just, you did an excellent job. I want to say that. You did an excellent job.
Well, I had a couple moments myself. Like I said, it's the theme of the show, Rosie. We all suck so you don't have to, right?
I sucked so you didn't have to. I got to say, I stayed on brand from the start of the show till right at the end, and I think it was very appropriate that we were talking about everybody poops by the end of the show. Brought you the good news about Ryan Sandberg. And talk to Mark Grody and Tony Andracki and Hub Arkish and Ryan Horvath. And I don't know, this would be a real, I really hope nobody important listened. If nobody important listened to the show, I'll be back next week for Saturday Suckers. Thanks for listening to The Score.
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So, kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.